Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit, who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. What does it mean when the Bible says that we're supposed to bear fruit? Jesus said that when we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. He says things like, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Now, in the book of Genesis, God told Adam and Eve to go be fruitful and multiply. Is that what bearing fruit means, to have kids? No, that's being fruitful. It's a little bit different. So what does it mean to bear fruit? I encouraged a confirmation student once to choose one of the fruits of the Spirit to write about in their eighth grade faith statement. The student wrote that their favorite fruit of the Spirit was watermelon, because it had a high water content that helped them stay hydrated during hot summer days. That's not what the fruit of the Spirit means either, though. In the letter to the Galatians, St. Paul contrasts the fruit of the Spirit with the acts of the flesh. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Think of it like the result or the consequences of living a life following God's guidance, compared to what your life would look like, how you would act, just based on following your own desires. Galatians says that the consequences, or the fruit, the results of following God's Spirit is going to lead to things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul is saying that when we follow the Spirit's lead, when we follow God's lead, these characteristics, these nine characteristics, are going to become more and more a way of life for us. We're going to start living more like Jesus did. We're going to be looking more Christ-like. And honestly, it's not by trying harder. It's just something that starts to happen when the Holy Spirit starts leading you. For example, would you say that an apple tree is trying to produce apples? I mean, maybe. Or is it just like, that's what an apple tree does? It comes with being an apple tree. What if you wanted your apple tree to produce oranges instead? Would you help it by bringing it to church, giving it a weekly motivational speech, a sermon about producing oranges? It's probably not going to work. It's not like an apple tree is going to produce apples one day and oranges the next when it's in a better mood. It's one or the other, you know? It might be helpful to see yourself in the same way, okay? On your own, you're an apple tree. By yourself, without any outside help, you can't really produce anything else. At the beginning of the service, I led our confession and absolution, and I said, we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit." We're sinners. We produce sin. That's the fruit we produce. So how then can we change? How can we be transformed to produce something else, a different kind of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit? Well, that's what St. Paul is talking about in the letter to the Galatians. He says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit what's contrary to the flesh." They're in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want, like what comes naturally. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. What this is saying is that when God's Spirit is working in you, you're going to start doing things different. You're going to be transformed. How you think, how you act, what you do, even how you feel can start to change. And one of the ways that you can see this happening is by the fruit. Your actions, your attitudes, they that are produced in your life, they start to change. You don't do what came naturally before. You start living differently. Even though you're an apple tree, you start producing oranges. It's amazing. When someone tells me that they're a Christian, but the only things that I ever see from them and experience is impatience, jealousy, cruelty, bitterness, greed. Well, I'll never know what's inside their heart, okay? But I can certainly see that they could use more of the Holy Spirit in their life. Because something's not right. I mean, it's plain to see. Because of the fruit that's being produced in their life. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And motivating them to just do better, it's not really what they need. They need to be changed, transformed, a heart transplant. That's what Ezekiel calls it. A reconnection to God, you might say. Maybe just a reminder that they need to turn their life over to God so that he can get to work changing things. And that's one of my responsibilities as a Christian, to be a fruit inspector, to speak the truth in love, share with y'all, people in my congregation, people in my life, about what I'm seeing. It's not really meant to be judgmental. If you call a grape, you're not being judgmental. You're just saying, hey, this is what I see. You're not a blueberry, you're a grape. You're not living like an orange, you're living like an apple. When someone gets baptized, it's a really exciting thing, no matter how old they are. They're committing their life to being led by God's Holy Spirit. But what if days later or years and years later, after they're baptized, they're talking with me about engaging in sexual immorality, or I see them getting drunk all the time, or they're talking badly about people? Well, I mean, I think the baptism still worked. God still loves them. He keeps his promises, but it'd be pretty important if somehow I can talk to them to let them know what I'm seeing. You know, you committed yourself to be a Christian, but you're not acting like it. You say that you're an apple tree, but right now all you're doing is producing oranges, or vice versa. And let's pray for God to change your heart and transform your life. Because we all of us constantly need God's Spirit to fill us again and again, to call us back to the life of producing the fruit that he wants. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, we all struggle with these things. But what if you're struggling with just being kind to people or to someone? What would you do to increase the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Just this one. Well, I mean, how would you, to keep the analogy going, how would you produce this a kind of fruit in your backyard? First, you'd prepare the area, right, for this tree. The second thing you do is plant the seed or the small tree in that area. Then you would nourish the plant or the tree. Finally, you would give it time to grow. For some fruit, I mean, it might be 5 years before you get anything. But I think thinking about these action steps can be really helpful for thinking about how you might increase the fruit of the Spirit in your own life as well. Remember, just trying to motivate yourself to do better, to be a better person, it's not usually going to make the difference. I mean, think about alcoholics. They don't usually just white knuckle their way to sobriety. It takes time. It takes support. It takes a plan for staying sober. In the same way, you can't just turn an apple tree into an orange tree through the power of positive thinking. You can't change a sinner into a saint just by trying harder on your own. God needs to work in your life, and he needs to change your heart. So first, prepare the ground. What does that look like as a Christian? I think it looks like praying. It means asking for God's help. Tell him, I need help in this area. I can't do it on my own. The book of James says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So don't do it by yourself. It's not going to work, first of all, and God wants to help you. Prepare yourself to be changed so that God can get to work. And next, you plant the seeds. You plant the tree. There's so many things you could do. If you're working on being kind to someone, write a kind letter to the person. You don't even have to send it. I'm telling you, just write a kind letter to them. Just planting those words of kindness in your brain can help God make those words and those feelings start to show up later on. I think if you really want to be kind, one of the things you can do is start listening to Life 107.1. I mean, really, on the radio. I notice that when I'm listening to like the news all the time, or if I'm listening, to some kind of music that's kind of negative, I start feeling different than when I'm listening to positive, encouraging Life 107. It just happens that way, I guess. But if you're filling your mind with positive, uplifting music, it's bound to start showing up in the rest of your day. I often warn couples when they're first getting married to be careful not to plant negative seeds in their relationship. Like when they fight, you know, I tell them, be careful not to use the word divorce. Don't plant that word, because once it gets planted, it's hard to dig it back out again. But the exact opposite applies as well. Planting positive and kind words and thoughts in your life, that will help you bear the fruit as well of kindness. And you might notice that you start having more kind thoughts without even trying. That's the thing. The third and fourth steps, I believe, are the most crucial, and they are related. Nourishing the fruits of the Spirit in your life is pretty repetitious, and it takes time. Just like nourishing a fruit tree would. You water it, you wait. You water it, maybe you get rid of some dead branches, you wait. And then years later, you might get some fruit. In the same way, I think it's unrealistic to imagine that you are suddenly going to become a patient person if you're currently not very good at it. One Sunday morning sermon's certainly not going to do the trick. The author James Moore says, he wrote a book titled, Lord, Give Me Patience and Give It to Me Right Now. I didn't know it was the title of a book. I thought it was just a saying. But God has to change our hearts, and that's going to take time and faithfulness to him. But it, not only do I think it's worth it, but I truly believe it's the only way it's actually going to happen. By ourselves, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So if you're anything like me, you look at this list of 9 fruits of the Spirit and you worry that you don't see as much fruit in your life as you would like. But I think just recognizing that truth helps us to confess it as a sin and then ask forgiveness from God. That humility points us exactly in the direction we need to take. We need to ask him for help. So we pray to God to change our hearts, to prepare our lives to bear the fruit that he wants to see for his glory. And then we just remain in him. We stay faithful to him. Jesus said, remain in me and you will bear much fruit. And then before you know it, like, you might start recognizing that God actually has been working in your life. Things are changing. You might recognize, even despite yourself and the one step forward, two step back that it seems to feel like a lot of times, that you're starting to become his disciple. Not because of what you are doing to please him, but because of what he's doing to make you more and more in his image. This is to my Father's glory, he says, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen.